You're listening to Liberation News, the newspaper of the Party for Socialism and Liberation.
Last week in the San Francisco Bay Area, we experienced a day when the sun never rose. There was so much smoke in the atmosphere above the summer fog layer that only the orange spectrum of light made it through to the ground, and it was so dark that I needed to have my house lights on all day. From megafires, extreme heat waves, summer snowstorms, and hurricanes in the U.S., to record monsoon rains in East Asia, millions are witnessing the effects of climate change firsthand. California broke record temperatures again over Labor Day weekend, while fires burned from Alaska to Mexico and around the globe. Colorado went from record high temperatures to a snowstorm, with a 70-degree drop in temperatures within 24 hours. At the same time, Korea had 46 straight days of heavy rains, creating massive flooding and landslides. Currently, there are 99 large fires burning throughout the western U.S. Northern California is experiencing the largest fires in its history, with millions of acres burned since mid-August. Oregon and Washington also have megafires, with over 12% of the Oregon population under evacuation alert. Many thousands have lost their homes across the region during an unprecedented economic crisis and a pandemic with no end in sight. The majority of fires in Northern California were triggered by a rare weather anomaly. Tropical cyclone off the California coast clashed with a prolonged heat wave, causing an atmospheric disturbance and over 11,000 dry lightning strikes. This came while the state is in a drought, with vegetation primed to ignite. The frequency and severity of tropical cyclones and heat waves in the region is growing with climate change, making a repeat of this weather anomaly likely. The densely populated San Francisco Bay Area is currently experiencing the longest streak of poor air quality in history, at 28 consecutive days as of September 14th. Fires have forced people to stay indoors to avoid smoke exposure in the time of COVID-19, when protecting our respiratory health is even more crucial. But due to the extreme heat wave making it unsafe to keep windows closed without air conditioning, many low-income residents have had no choice but to suffer through the smoke. Immigrant farm workers throughout the state were forced to work through not only extreme temperatures, but also wildfire smoke. Evacuees face the choice of risking exposure to COVID-19 in shelters or paying for hotel rooms. Although evacuation centers are limiting the number of people per center in order to maintain social distancing, reports state that enforcement of masks is spotty, forcing working-class people to choose between sheltering in their cars during high temperatures and smoky air or risk COVID-19. This is the class war playing out, where the wealthy can relocate and rebuild while the poor literally are left behind, often without the means to even get out of harm's way. The class divide will only become more heightened as climate change unfolds if the government continues to do nothing significant to protect the most vulnerable. Every year, wildfires are becoming more frequent, larger, and more destructive, yet the state has done little to prepare and protect the population in advance. Until the 1800s, when colonizers banned the practice, the indigenous people of California annually held controlled burns to clear vegetation and reduce the spread of wildfires. This ban was not only an attempt to oppress and disconnect Native people from their land and culture, but also for profits. Capitalism puts a price tag on everything, and trees are just another commodity to be bought and sold. Forestry practices short-sightedly sought to eliminate controlled burning in order to keep the trees intact for logging. Now we are seeing the result of centuries of wildfire fuel buildup on top of the heightened fire risk due to climate change. In addition, planting trees like crops, as forestry does, combined with new climate stressors, hampers the resiliency of the ecosystem to survive pests and disease, which has left immense tracts of dead trees primed to ignite. In recent years, the state has increased efforts to clear vegetation in advance of fire season, but with rising temperatures, aging electrical infrastructure, increased development into wildlands, extreme weather anomalies, and tree death, those efforts fall far short. At the same time as the fires raged in California, Hurricane Laura, one of the strongest hurricanes to reach landfall in Gulf Coast history, pounded southwestern Louisiana with 150 mile per hour winds, leaving 100,000 people without power, cell service, or clean water for more than 2 weeks. A dangerous heat wave that followed the storm caused more deaths than the hurricane itself. Although there is widespread devastation, residents of the Lake Charles region have seen no government relief workers and have no access to shelters. Another wave of evacuations are now underway in the Gulf Coast as Hurricane Sally heads toward landfall, with massive flooding expected throughout the region. Despite being at the helm of the wealthiest country in the world, the U.S. government, Democrat and Republican, is doing nothing to mitigate or prepare for the unfolding catastrophe. California is the fifth largest economy in the world, yet there is no money for people's needs, while big tech gets tax breaks. Even in this liberal bastion, state leadership is taking no comprehensive action that equals the urgency of the crisis, because capitalism time and again has shown to be incapable and unwilling to care for the people. Now I'd like to read the preface from my book, Climate Solutions Beyond Capitalism, entitled The Crisis from a Socialist Perspective. If you read the mainstream media, you may get the sense that our extinction is inevitable, or that the solutions are just too impractical to implement. Studies show that 98% of news stories on climate change cover only the negative effects, omitting all the work being done on adaptive solutions in communities and laboratories around the world. U.S. mainstream media outlets are controlled by just six companies and represent the viewpoint of the ruling class, which wants to maintain business as usual so they can continue to enrich themselves. If the population is not aware that there are solutions, they are less likely to demand action. The establishment never directs the blame for the crisis on the capitalist system itself. They like to pretend that no other economic system has ever or will ever exist. Instead, they promote piecemeal, voluntary solutions that place the burden on individuals and are often out of the reach to the majority of the population that is struggling to live paycheck to paycheck. While individuals can choose to consume less and conserve more, this does little to affect the overall output of greenhouse gas emissions. Individual behavior change does not alter the production model, which creates the vast majority of waste, pollution, and environmental degradation far beyond the control of individuals. Just 100 companies have been the source of 71% of emissions since 1988. While recycling, consuming less animal products, driving and flying less, and buying sustainable local products is good for the planet, this is not enough. The crisis is global. We need to leave fossil fuels in the ground and immediately expand renewable energy infrastructure. We need to produce only what is needed and provide job training in fields that build a sustainable world. We must look to systemic change for solutions. This publication provides a different perspective from the corporate media narrative. It is not meant to be an all-encompassing scientific paper. Science, like the political landscape, is ever-changing. By the time you're reading this publication, there may be new scientific discoveries of solutions or a renewed connection to the indigenous wisdom of ecology. While some solutions today may seem like the best path forward, future research may find new paths that supersede what we know now. The message of this publication is that there are very promising solutions, today and in our future, none of which can or will be implemented in any comprehensive and meaningful way under capitalism, where the law of profit holds progress back. This publication is meant to be a tool for activists to give an informed and educated voice to counter the demoralization campaign of the ruling class, to look beyond the dead-end solutions within the framework of capitalism, lay out some promising solutions to the climate crisis, and paint a picture of the eco-socialist future. It's an urgent call to action to transform the inhumane, unsustainable capitalist system and take an evolutionary leap forward in the way we live and interact with each other and the natural world. As of this writing, record heat waves are scorching the Northern Hemisphere, while unprecedented wildfires rage across the Arctic region and catastrophic floods engulf South Asia. Climate change is here, and much that has been set into motion cannot be undone. But we can minimize the magnitude of the change by not continuing to add to the problem, as well as by restoring ecosystems, restructuring the system of production, and creating resilient communities that can better cope with the effects. The climate crisis is truly the greatest existential threat humanity has ever faced. The arguments against comprehensive action range from human nature as one of competition and greed to spreading lies about the validity of scientific reports. All serve to uphold the status quo and drive life on Earth to extinction in the service of short-term profits for a few. For the majority of our existence, humans survived and advanced due to cooperation. Earth's ecosystems are made up of species living synergistically, providing complementary services to the whole. The rise of capitalism and private land ownership ruptured this complementary relation with the ecosystem through the exploitation of nature and workers for commodity production. Modern technology, along with a return to ecological practices, may allow us to renew our intrinsic relationship with the Earth and provide for the needs of all. But achieving this transformation requires an uprooting of the capitalist system. We can no longer survive as a species under the laws of capitalism that dictate what can and cannot be achieved based on profitability. In order to maintain a livable planet, we must do away with a system that upholds the needs of corporations above people and the environment. It is all possible. The technology exists to meet worldwide energy needs with wind, water, and solar, to shift to regenerative agricultural practices and feed the world, to restore natural habitats that capture carbon and improve soil health and water resources. We can create egalitarian societies where everyone has equal access to housing, education, jobs, culture, and recreation. It will take work. It will take cooperation. It will take the wealthier nations sharing resources and technologies with the global South as reparations for centuries of colonial and neo-colonial plunder. But it can be done. This publication covers the urgent problems we face and how the capitalist system, by its very nature, is a barrier to a sustainable world, and provides examples of some inspiring current and developing solutions that can be implemented on a mass scale within the framework of an eco-socialist society. This publication embraces the concept of revolutionary optimism, that we have the tools and insight to change course, and that the capitalist system cannot hold back the will of the masses and the evolution of society. The sparks of change may seem small and scattered, but a broad view shows a growing trend emerging worldwide based on a desire for a new path forward, from a renewed interest in socialism to breakthroughs in research and technology, to an embrace of traditional indigenous practices that align with nature, to the global youth-led climate movement. This publication is an urgent call to action and at the same time, a call for humility. We must have a sobering look at what industrialization and capitalist development have done to the planet and redefine our relationship with the Earth. In my years of study, writing, and working in the field of climate protection, I have frequently felt despair and grief over what we are losing. Author and journalist Dar Jamal, who has written on climate for the past decade, shares an important perspective on how he remains steadfast. Quote, "Each time another scientific study is released, showing yet another acceleration of the loss of ice atop the Arctic Ocean, or sea level rise projections are stepped up yet again, or news of another species that has gone extinct is announced, my heart breaks for what we have done and are doing to the planet. I grieve, yet this ongoing process has become more like peeling back the layers of an onion. There is always more work to do as the crisis we have created for ourselves continues to unfold." Unquote. We face an uncertain future, yet we cannot foresee what effects our collective actions today will have on the future and the role they will play in the revolutionary transformation of society. It is our duty to step up and do what we can, despite the uncertainty of the outcome, not just for ourselves, but for future generations and all life on the planet. We each have something to contribute, from conversations with coworkers, to organizing in our communities, to supporting organizations who are taking action, to educating ourselves on the issues, to opening our minds to the possibility of a different way of living in alignment with nature, to building revolutionary socialist organizations. Everyone has something to contribute, no matter how small. And the time is now.
Thanks for listening. You can read more at liberationnews.org. You can follow us on SoundCloud, Spotify, Spreaker, and other podcast platforms. And follow us on social media at PSLWeb.